version of Christianity that's been offered to them in American churches. Now, they're not saying liberal American churches. They're not saying mainline American churches. They're saying virtually all American churches. Friends, the body of Christ, whether liberal, conservative, fundamentalist, Protestant, Catholic, wherever you want to draw the lines, charismatic, Pentecostal, are all sucked into this moralistic, therapeutic deism. What Christian adults have not told our young people, say Smith and Denton, is that this account of Christianity is bankrupt. We are passing a bankrupt faith on to our young people, and then we cannot understand why they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. We have set them up for perdition, total deception. And friends, they then will be the ones who will betray, thinking they're doing God a service, will turn around and betray those who are truly trying to follow the Christ who said he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. These young people who are buying into this moralistic, therapeutic deism, because that is what has been translated to them from their parents and their pastors and their youth pastors, they are going to end up embracing the one world government, the one world economy, and the one world inclusivist religion that excludes true Bible-believing Christianity. This is dangerous. It's not a matter of statistics. It's a matter of eternal destiny. The church's accommodating impulse does not stem from God's call to us to share our lives with a stranger or to share God's love with others. Instead, it grows out of our need as a church to be liked and approved. In other words, leaders of the church, adults, have succumbed to the teenage disease of trying to please their peers. Young people will not develop consequential faith simply by being absorbed into a so-called Christian culture as an alternative to the culture at large. Churches are quite capable of developing deformative cultures of their own while washing down the gospel with large gulps of rationalization. To a large extent, we can determine the degree to which a congregation chooses to imitate Christ and participate in the divine ethic of giving or practice a risk-averse gospel of self-fulfillment. Consequential faith has risks. The love of Christ is love that is worth dying for. Congregations are far more reluctant to ask this kind of faith of teenagers than teenagers are to respond to it. Churches help young people develop consequential faith best when they focus not on who they are, but by focusing on who Christ is calling young people to become as his envoys in the world. I say a profound amen to these two, a very, very powerful warning to the entire professing Christian community in America. What is God saying to his church? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You've left your first love. You become like Sodom and Gomorrah. You become like Jezebel and lukewarm. Repent. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Thanks for joining us here today on Viewpoint. Want to make sure that if you would like to get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, by the way, I shared several different experts, the spirituality of seduction, dealing with syncretism and so on, from this book. It covers a vast array of material, And I think you will find it very helpful. Some have said it was the most powerful and life-changing book that they had ever read other than the Bible. Your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. If you'd like the special offer, getting the book The Return, which is a wonderful complimentary book to Seduction of the Saints. It's a $12 book. Your combined gift of just $28 to Save America Ministries will put both of them in your hands. There'll only be one $4 postage and handling, so you'll save, in essence, $6 by getting the two together. But you'll have to call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Otherwise, you can order either one of them online, saveus.org. Tell your friends, Romans and countrymen, if you believe that this program is worth hearing and should be heard here across America and around the world, let your friends know, let your business associates know, people in foreign countries, let them know, email them, and would you consider, seriously consider, becoming a partner with us day after day. We're preparing the way of the Lord for histories might allow, or send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. God bless you, be a blessing, and let's keep the faith once presented to the saints.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire. Viewpoint.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, the views of Dr. Jerome Corsi, who took his Ph.D. at Harvard. He is now the senior correspondent at WorldNet Daily. He's a prolific writer and certainly one of my favorite guests. Dr. Corsi, thank you very much for being with us.
Dr. Tan, great pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Well, let's thought we could talk about a couple of things perhaps this evening. One, of course, you'd written a book on why Israel can't wait, and you'd actually gone over and talked to really all the key people over there, the president and the premier and the Mossad and the military, and this was a couple of years ago, and it looked at that time as if Israel had everything in line for an attack on Iran, and but of course it seems to have been held off. And suddenly, then I'd like to talk a little bit about what's happening financially to our country, because gold and silver were up today. For those in the listening audience don't know, I haven't seen a day like this going back to 1980. Gold up, it's up $26 at one point. Silver up over a dollar an ounce. That's a phenomenal move. I don't know how it finished the day, but it was certainly strong towards the end of the day. But maybe we could start out talking about where we stand as far as the Near East is concerned, where we stand as far as the Middle East is concerned, but the two are certainly intertwined, and we have all these peace negotiations going on, which I personally think is just sort of political theater. I don't believe there's any way they're going to be able to work out any sort of an agreement between the Palestinians and the Israelis, but what are your thoughts, Jerry?
Well, I agree with you, Dr. Stan. I think the entire attempt to get peace negotiations is more motivated by the failures of the Obama administration on many fronts and the desire to try to get something to work. And the most immediate thing I think the Obama administration latched on was to get negotiations going again between the Palestinians and the Netanyahu government in Israel. And clearly the negotiations were resumed, but on a basis I think that offers no real prospect of success. I mean, you've got the Obama administration pressing Israel on settlements, stopping and extending the moratorium on settlements being developed in the West Bank, and pressure over settlement development, the development of Jewish areas and Jerusalem. And this is really not the issue. I mean, the issue in the Middle East right now is Iran developing nuclear weapons, Iran supplying rockets and funding Hamas in the Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon, and even Saudi Arabia knows this. So with Hamas not participating in the talks and sitting outside the talks, I think it's just a matter of time until the talks fall apart, because Hamas has no interest in seeing these talks being successful at this point.
All right, I certainly agree. Well, then, do you think that there will be an attack on Iran sometime, maybe after the election or maybe waiting until next year? But do you think that Israel will attack Iran to try to certainly prevent it from developing a nuclear weapon?
It's certainly developing, and I think as we get after the elections, the possibilities of it increase, and we can discuss that when we get back from the break.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back, especially our guest this evening, Dr. Jerome Corsi. And if you don't read his books, I mean, certainly he has so many wonderful books. The one we're really talking about is Why Israel Can't Wait, which he wrote several years ago after returning from a trip over there, where he was given the opportunity of really talking to all of the key players in Israel, an opportunity which very, very few people would have the opportunity to have, but they certainly let him talk to everybody, get his own view, and certainly the feeling of the Israelis that they cannot wait indefinitely. They cannot allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, you go right ahead, Jerry.
Well, I think, Dr. Stan, the Israel's position has been that Clearly, Iran developing nuclear weapons is an existential threat to the survival of Israel. So Israel can't sit by, they cannot, and just wait until Iran were to develop nuclear weapons, because Israel's a one-bomb state, and if they can't take the risk in Israel that Iran would do a surprise attack with a nuclear weapon and drop it on Tel Aviv, even low-yield nuclear weapon over Tel Aviv would destroy the modern Jewish state as we know it, destroy the communication center, the business center, many of the government offices in Israel. Israel does not have a lot of cities. It's a very small country, and it can't afford to lose a city like Tel Aviv. So at some point or other, when the Israeli intelligence is absolutely clear that Iran can make a nuclear weapon, that it's imminent, Israel will have no choice but to attack Iran. I think that's the worst possible solution, because a war is going to be very dangerous. Thousands of people are going to get killed in Israel, as well as in the other countries involved in the war. It'll be a regional war that will certainly involve not only Iran, but Hezbollah attacking Israel in the north from Lebanon, Hamas attacking Israel from the Gaza, and the outcome of the war is uncertain. It's much more difficult to attack with the distances involved, Iran compared to Iraq, which is closer. So taking out the Osiris nuclear plant from Saddam Hussein in the 1980s was a relatively simple military exercise, as was taking out the Syrian nuclear power plant and nuclear facilities just a few years ago, because the distances were closer and there was only one facility. The distances are much larger, much farther, and Iran's got dozens of facilities that would have to be taken out if Iran was really to significantly stop the Iranian nuclear program. So the prospects of a war are uncertain and difficult. Israel doesn't want to do it, but I think after the November election, depending upon how quickly Iran is advancing, Israel is going to continue to see the clock ticking down and waiting until they're absolutely clear there's no alternative but to attack Iran. The Obama administration has no plan to stop Iran whatsoever.
Well, but don't you think that if Israel is in the war, why we'll be drawn into it? This is my concern.
Well, if Israel gets into the war, there's no way.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. And we'll be right. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Corsi is just simply saying that Israel feels it cannot wait. One even low-yield nuclear bomb on Tel Aviv would end the state of Israel, and so Israel, fearing that Iran is trying to develop a nuclear weapon, cannot wait, and when it appears imminent that it's going to happen, they're going to have no alternative but to attack. On the other hand, this is going to be very difficult. It won't be simple like knocking out Saddam Hussein's nuclear development in the early 1980s, or recently the attack in Syria to knock out their nuclear power plant that they were building. Going after Iran would be very difficult for Israel, which they really aren't anxious to attack, and yet they feel the necessity for it. And then I asked, well, if Israel does attack, what will happen as far as the United States? What are your thoughts? Will we be drawn, if Israel should attack Iran, or don't you think we would be drawn into the war?
I think the United States will have to be drawn into a war. I mean, the Obama administration has tilted so far in favor of even the radical Islamists in the Middle East, pushing Israel in the settlements, demanding no similar concessions from the Palestinians in the West Bank or from Gaza and from Hamas in the Gaza. It's clear Barack Obama goes to Cairo, which in 2009 and says he's experienced Islam on three different continents. It's very difficult for people in the Middle East not to perceive that Barack Obama is Muslim. That's the general belief, I believe, in the Middle East. Certainly it was when I was there, and I was there while President Obama came to Cairo and made that speech. We lost a critical opportunity, I think, in June 2009, when the protest was in the streets of Tehran, where the people were protesting the election of Ahmadinejad, the re-election. It was clearly a fraudulent vote, and the Green Movement in Iran wanted to replace the government, to overthrow the government of Ahmadinejad and to have a fair election. President Obama did nothing. The White House didn't support the Green Movement. The White House made statements that were very weak, and as a process, we missed a critical opportunity to cause change from within Iran, peaceful change from within, that could have been the solution. I think this is the Ahmadinejad government and the radical clerics ruling Iran are very unpopular even within Iran. But unless, the Obama administration were to take some active steps to support the changes that could occur within Iran with the Green Movement, we missed the opportunity. So what I see is, the United States has got no plan. Barack Obama said he wanted to talk with Ahmadinejad and negotiate directly. That was the campaign position. We tried to negotiate with Iran, with the International Atomic Energy Agency and the EU states. In Geneva, the negotiations fell apart at the last minute. Iran said they would not allow Russia to enrich uranium for Iran. And that was an embarrassment. I believe Barack Obama thought he had an agreement with the Iranians, but the Iranians are very skillful at dragging on these negotiations and then pulling out in the last minute. So we have no policy whatsoever. The sanctions that we've got in the United Nations are not effective, largely because Russia and China are both economically working with Iran, even supplying Iran with the gasoline it needs for domestic consumption. So, the plan of the Obama administration is just to let time pass, and in the time passing, Ahmadinejad and Iran will develop a nuclear weapon, and Israel knows it. It's a completely ineffective policy out of the White House at this point in the Middle East, and I think the Netanyahu government is just marking time.
And I really think there's no good solution. And certainly, whatever happens, it's going to be a lose-lose situation for Israel, for Iran, for the United States. But I think that war is coming. And Sydney, I think we can safely say nothing's going to happen before the election. I think they're doing everything they can to keep the lid on things for the time being, and then we'll just have to wait and see what the new year will bring.
I think that's right. And I think what we're seeing is a problem in the Middle East with Iran at the center stage that is going to have to be resolved. That was the whole point of my book, Why Israel Can't Wait. I was there in 2009. I was in Israel for well over a month, talked to the top leadership. I interviewed President Peres, met the Prime Minister Netanyahu, spent a lot of time with several heads, former heads of Mossad, an extensive interview with Vice Prime Minister Yalon in his office in Jerusalem. And it's clear that Israel will defend Israel in the final analysis, but Israel's not anxious to go to war, and I don't think they should be anxious to go to war. Israel's been begging the international community to deal with Iran, and it just seems to me now like the international community is resigned to do nothing. And Iran is taking advantage. Iran's the winner right now of this strategy.
And, of course, I think many of the other countries over there, the Sunni Muslim countries, are very much against Iran. And certainly, but if America does not take a strong position over there, they may be actually forced to side with Iran. Right now, they don't want to. They fear Iran, but they're looking to America for leadership, and they're certainly not getting much from the Obama administration. And if push came to shove, and, you know, if America were simply to do absolutely nothing, why they would have to find some sort of a means of accommodating with Iran, even though they don't want to. Would that be a fair appraisal?
I think it is. I mean, at the moment, the Sunni nations, both Egypt and Saudi Arabia, I think are working closely with Israel, ironically. I mean, Saudi Arabia has let the Obama administration know that the problem in the Middle East is not the Jewish settlements in the West Bank. It's Iran. I mean, this is, you know, clearly the most dangerous element even for the Sunnis. If the Shiites develop a nuclear weapon in Iran, they will try to go for hegemony in the region. And the next enemy right after Israel will be Saudi Arabia and the other Sunni states, and they know it. Egypt has been allowing Israel to bring its warships through the Suez Canal, which is a clear indication that Egypt is supporting Israel and sending messages to Iran that Egypt is not happy with Iran supplying Hamas in the Gaza through the Sinai, which is what's happening right now. Iran is very destabilizing to Egypt, as Iran is destabilizing to the Sunni nations in the Middle East, including not only Saudi Arabia and Egypt, but Jordan. And this realignment that's going on in the Middle East with Iran pushing for nuclear weapons, and the Obama administration almost seems like the Obama administration is willing for this to happen or wants it to happen because there's no plan to stop it. I'm increasingly seeing articles appear in places like Foreign Affairs, the Council on Foreign Relations quarterly magazine, saying that the United States policy ought to be to contain a nuclear-armed Iran like we contained the Soviet Union. I think that's a flawed policy from the beginning. Iran is a radical nation. It's not like the Soviet Union in the 50s or 60s, which had nation-state interests that were rational.
And I certainly agree with you. The attitude of the mullahs over there is rational. One of the things that I'm having difficulty tracking America's military position there. Maybe you can help me. Initially, of course, when the Obama administration came to power, why they pulled, we had a number of aircraft carrier units in that region. President Obama pulled them all out. And then it was my understanding that he moved them in about 3 months ago, somewhere there, I guess it was going to be the 1st of August, they were going to have three carrier groups over there. But we never hear anything. In other words, the American people don't really know what's going on. We don't know what our own military is. We don't know where they are. I mean, because of the media, if it weren't for WorldNet Daily, why, and one or two other sources, we would have no idea what's really going on in the world, so because they very carefully censor the news. But do we still have those carrier groups close there to Iran, really of letting them know that we would have a show of military force there if there was a confrontation?
Well, Dr. Stan, I think we've moved carrier groups in and out of the Gulf area so regularly. As far as I can see, all we're doing is regular rotation of the carrier groups. We're not adding carrier groups. At different points, we've had as many as three carrier groups in the region, but I don't think that's been a consistent or a regular plan, and we've done it a number of times. I don't think the Obama administration has any immediate plan to go to a military option, and certainly not while the November 2nd election is the most preoccupying factor in the White House. The Obama administration is about to have a historic loss of seats to the Republicans. This is probably going to be much more severe of a reversal in Congress than 1994 was during Bill Clinton's first midterm election. It could be a massive number of seats that are lost by the Democrats. The American people are disillusioned with hope and change and the continuing economic difficulties. So Barack Obama is not about to take on, I don't think, any war at this time in the Middle East. And I think Israel will be continuously discouraged by the Obama administration from looking at military solutions.
Right. I was very interested to hear that certainly Rahm Emanuel is leaving the White House, going to run for the mayor of Chicago. And apparently a lot of the Jewish people in Chicago are so mad at Obama because of the way he's been treating Israel that they're not going to vote for Rahm Emanuel. That could very well cost him the election. There's a strong Jewish component there in Chicago. And it couldn't happen to a more deserving individual than Rahm Emanuel, in my estimation. But it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Well, Sydney, our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi. We're talking about why Israel can't wait. Dr. Corsi's book, it's still available. We'll be back in just a moment here to explore some of the other things, aspects of what's going on today. Well, Jerry, certainly I saw something today I have not seen. It's going back to 1980. With a spike of the price of gold, of silver.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
This spread, of course, and so basically this is exactly what's happening. The banks are not lending. They're speculating in the market and commodities and all sorts of things, and they're doing really very, very well. But, of course, they're artificially running the market up. Dr. Corsi says that after the elections, why he anticipates the Obama administration is going to come forward, they're going to bring this special committee that they have, looking at Medicare and Social Security, headed by Alan Simpson, and they're going to tell the American people our welfare state is not sustainable. I mean, there's just no way we can continue putting out the Social Security and Medicare. It's a Ponzi scheme. We're out of money. They're not going to admit it's a Ponzi scheme, but it is. It's always been a Ponzi scheme, and now, of course, to come the day of reckoning. And so Dr. Corsi is suggesting that they're going to suggest a value-added tax. We'll have the income tax. We'll have a value-added tax. But, of course, hopefully the Republican Congress will not certainly vote for that. And then we're going to have austerity. We're going to have to start cutting back, probably cutting back dramatically on the amount of money paid out for Social Security and Medicare and other items. We're going to have to start rationing because there's no way you can keep spending more than you're taking in, not indefinitely. Would that be a fair appraisal?
I think it is. I think this is exactly what's going on. I mean, when you take a look at this bipartisan budget committee that's been organized by the Obama administration, and you've got the Republican co-chairman, Alan Simpson, heading it, who's always been pretty much of a weak Republican when it comes to spending and other taxing issues, very much more in line with what the Democrats want to do, I think this budget committee is going to basically come forward and say that... looking at the budgeting and the deficits we're running, we are not going to be able to continue with $1.4, $1.5 trillion deficits without raising taxes. So I don't think this commission is going to have anything to say before the November 2nd midterm election, but it's an 18-member panel. It's charged with making recommendations on reducing the $1.5 trillion deficit we're going to experience this fiscal year in 2010, and the commission's supposed to report in December. I think the report is going to be calling for a national sales tax, a value-added tax, in addition to the income tax, to raise additional tax revenue to continue the welfare state at the level we have it. I think the American people are going to rebel. Once that happens, once the American people rebel, and it's clear that the Obama administration is going to have to do a base fiscal year 2011 without additional tax revenue, then we're going to see a major change across the board. The United States is facing the possibility of a sovereign nation credit downgrade by Standard & Poor's and Moody's, and if that happens, the cost of financing our debt, our interest rates, it's going to be an astronomical cost for financing the deficits that we've got at the federal level.
And, of course, if they raise the interest rate to try to attract people to buy our bonds, why, of course, it's going to really shut off the any hope of an economic recovery. So it will strangle the ability of people to borrow. You raise the interest rates while you slow down the economy. And even though they tell us that it's getting better, I know that the recession is over. Do you really think the recession is over and the happy days lie ahead?
Not at all. I mean, the idea of the recession is over, the stock market is rallying, these are like phony signs. When you take a look at unemployment, unemployment is still stubbornly at 9.6%, hovering close to 10%. And I've made the point repeatedly, my book, America for Sale, which is about to go into paperback, be in paperback next week, makes the point that this is not a traditional recession or even depression. This is a structural downturn, economic downturn, and we're facing structural unemployment because this is what globalism looks like.
And I think it's so important that people understand that a lot of people are beginning to say, you know, they tell us, you know, gee, if we just take down our tariffs and we're going to be able to then sell our goods all over the world, and if we're going to have so many more jobs, we've lost about 8 million jobs, and basically more and more people are out of work. Globalism doesn't work, at least doesn't work for us. It's been great for the Chinese, been great for the Indians, great for the people throughout the world. It's not working here. And an awful lot of congressmen they're going to lose their jobs, and they justifiably so, for pushing globalism. And people look around, they say, look, you promised us more jobs. We don't have more jobs. We're losing our jobs. We're losing our homes. And they're closing down our factories. You've been lying to us. This is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi. And, you know, Jerry, the thing is, they keep telling us, you know, well, things are going to get better, or people are going to go back to work, factories are going to open. The trouble is that we've moved so many of our factories overseas. Those jobs are gone, and I don't think they're coming back again. Certainly the steel industry, the automotive industry, at least a significant part of it, the electronic industry, the textile industry, the aluminum industry, certainly they all go in the light bulb industry. We just closed our last light bulb manufacturing factories here. Now most of them are going to be made over in China, which seems like they're doing everything they can to close down our industries and of course, encourage industries in other countries, which is great for them, but of course there's no way we can survive simply as a consumer nation, can we?
Well, this is the whole point I made in America for Sale, is that if we destroy the U.S. middle class, which is what globalism does, because you've got the multinational corporations who are saying, look, we'll just move jobs to the lowest cost of employees, and manufacturing that's in China right now, where employees will work for a dollar an hour and virtually no benefits. And in the technical jobs, the jobs are going to India. It's not just call centers. It's reading x-rays. It's doing legal research. It's any specification of technical work that can be outsourced.
Architecture, that's one of the things. They're doing a lot of architecture design, things like that. They're smart people. They're doing a good job, and it's so much cheaper over there.
Engineering work, they're better educated, be honest with you, than they are in the United States. And when you shift the jobs overseas, these jobs are not easily coming back. This is the problem, is that, you know, you basically are facing a situation where the American people are being lied to and said, well, this is just a recession, because recession seems to imply that, you know, we'll recover. It's like we have, and they you hear the complaints, oh, this is taking a very long time to recover, and the recovery is slow. And
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Corsi. Man, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, Dr. Jerome Corsi, senior editor at the correspondent there at WorldNet Daily. And would you like to go ahead and get your website out and tell people how they can get your books?
Yes, Dr. Stan, the Red Alert, which is my weekly newsletter. I write it every week. It's free now. You can get it. Go to WorldNet Daily, and the homepage on the left there is a gray bar there. If you click the red alert gray bar, you can subscribe free. I'm also a managing director of Guilford Securities. I've worked in for 25 years in the financial services industry, and I've reaffiliated with Guilford Securities in downtown Manhattan. So if you go to Guilford Securities, G-I-L-F-O-R-D, GuilfordSecurities.com, there's a tab at the top that says Financial Planning Group. Click that and fill out the form, and we'll be sure to get you the Red Alert newsletter at a free subscription and keep you informed on the financial planning updates we send out from Guilford Securities.
Well, certainly, Doctor, of course, he covers a lot of this in his book, America for Sale. It's going to be coming out in paperback here in next week or so. And it really is a discussion of globalism. What is globalism about? It's about shifting America's industrial foundation overseas. It is not just our industrial foundation, not just our answering services. They can read our x-rays in India. They can read our CT scans, our MRIs over there. They can do legal research. They can do architectural work. They can do all sorts of engineering over there, and this is the plan. And once those jobs leave, they're not coming back again. So then what are we going to do here? Well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to just, we're going to work at Walmart, and we're going to shop at Walmart, and everything's going to be fine. We're going to be prosperous. But what people don't understand is that globalism lowers the living standards, and as Dr. Corsi points out, is designed to destroy the middle class. This is really what it's all about. But they can't tell the American people that. The American people would be rather angry if they knew there was a long-range plan to destroy the middle class of this country. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Dr. Corsi. And certainly one of the things that really disturbs me is the fact that certainly all the currencies in the world are fiat currencies. There's nothing behind them that any country wants to. All they have to do is just print more money, and most of the countries today are trying to get their currency lower so that their products will be easier to export. Every other country is looking after their own countries, except here in the United States. Our leaders, of course, are doing everything they can, ordinarily, to keep our currency high, which means our products are harder to export. They're not really doing what the Chinese are doing, what the Japanese are doing, what every other country, the Brazilians, are doing, trying to get the value of the currency low, so their products will be turned suddenly easy to export, and they'll have their factories humming. It looks like our leaders, though, aren't that interested in maintaining the industrial base of this country and maintaining our exports. Certainly, if we were really trying to prosper America, we wouldn't have massive trade deficits every year. And this has been going on as long as I can remember. I can't remember when we had a positive trade relationship. It's always, how many tens or hundreds of billions of dollars we go behind every single year. We have trade deficits. We have budget deficits. You can't keep running deficits indefinitely, can you, Jerry?
I can't possibly. We're right now, I think, at the end of how long we can run trade deficits and budget deficits. I'm watching very carefully. The Obama administration is just appointing this Jack Lew, L-E-W, who's going to be the next director of the Office of Budget, of Management and Budget, a key office in the Congress, the OMB. And Lew was before, he served previously with under the Clinton administration, and he had served, helped to broker in 1990 between President George W. Bush and the Democrats in Congress. Then he served again in 1997 working with Bill Clinton and the GOP to deal with these budget gaps. He's had a long experience, and the idea that they're going to appoint Lew indicates that Obama's aware that there's going to be a big battle coming over budget deficits. He wants to get an experienced guy in there. Lew is going to replace Peter Orszag, who stepped out in June. But right now you've got the nation's debt approaching $14 trillion. Unemployment still hovering very close to 10%. And Lew, who served as the OMB director during the Clinton administration, is going to have a challenge before him unlike any he's ever faced before. There's no way that we're going to be able, with decreasing tax revenues, even if the Obama administration raises taxes by not continuing the Bush tax cuts, we're going to collect less tax revenue because every time we increase taxes, it produces less jobs, fewer jobs, and we're having right now a crisis in the jobs being created by small businesses in the United States. So, and we're facing a situation where the tax revenue is declining. The demands of the social welfare state, especially with unemployment, welfare, food stamps, people out of work, are increasing. And we can't continue funding $1.4, $1.5 trillion federal budget deficits with borrowing. It's coming to an end. And when the American public realizes what a crisis we're in, which I think will happen probably in December, we're going to go into next year with the recognition that this is what globalism looks like. We're in the first prolonged economic downturn, the structural global depression caused by globalism.
And if the people don't understand what globalism is really all about, could you explain it to them? Because you know, they use these terms so glibly. What is globalism, and why is it a recipe for disaster? Why is it a recipe for the destruction of our economy? We're told, oh, globalism is wonderful. It's going to be all sorts of jobs. Look at the great job. Look how good things are. And people look around, they say, I don't think these are very good. What is globalism? Why is it a recipe for the destruction of America?
Well, people have got to read my America for Sale. I devote a chapter to looking at the globalists, reading their writings, quoting from them. The basic idea is that multinational corporations should be able to cross borders. There should be really regional governments, if not a one-world government, regional currencies. And the multinational corporations should be able to get labor at the lowest possible cost worldwide. The other side, from the political left, globalism means workers ought to be able to cross borders wherever they want. So open borders in the United States, you can't send your lawn to China to get it mowed, but you can import an underclass from south of the border to mow your lawn. So we're faced with a situation where the middle class in the United States, which has enjoyed historically high wages and benefits since the end of World War II, is being undermined. The higher paying jobs in manufacturing, in technical services, legal work, engineering work, medical records work, is going to India. China's getting the manufacturing jobs, and the U.S. worker is being left with service jobs, which are much lower paying. And there's much less demand for service jobs. So the U.S. middle class is now experiencing for the first time since World War II a decline in real income, and it's suicidal all around. I mean, the idea that, you know, the globalists have hated the United States of America because it's been the largest economy in the world. They've hated our national sovereignty, our currency, our protection of American workers. And the idea with globalism is to advance the world economy by redistributing income out of the United States, redistributing jobs, lowering the economy of the United States, and bringing up the economy of the rest of the world. It's a strategy that won't work.
And I think it's so important what Dr. Gorsuch just said. The whole idea is to lower the living standards here and raise the living standards throughout the rest of the world. Most people don't understand. This is the agenda. This is why we're shipping our jobs overseas and outsourcing our jobs, and why we have the open border with Mexico so we can bring in an underclass there and they'll do these jobs, you know. They'll do menial jobs much cheaper. We have laws, but they're passed by Congress. And they don't believe in the law. These globalists have their own agenda. They're not going to enforce the laws passed by our elected representatives because their goal is much, much more important, and that is the globalist goal of certainly really undermining the very fabric of our society, transforming it, but they have to do this quickly before the American people really understand the idea is to wipe out our middle class and certainly we'll have a more or less two-class society like they have in Mexico or other countries. Well, Jerry, do you think that the average American is beginning to understand what's going on? Let me just put out our telephone number, anybody would like to call in, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We do have the alternative media. We have publications like WorldNet Daily and News with Views, and we have talk radio, we have the YouTube, we have the Internet. The information's getting out. Do you think people are beginning to understand that there are people who have a different worldview, who have a different agenda for America?
I think people are waking up and beginning to understand through the alternative media. When people are losing their jobs and their homes, when they've been lied to, you know, free trade, NAFTA, CAFTA, the World Trade Organization, all was sold. These all were sold to the American public on the idea new exports will expand the United States, new jobs will be created. The only thing we've exported has been jobs.
And that's right. We had, certainly our exports are down. If they weren't down, why, we would not have the massive trade deficits we have. But they can't let the American people know that. Oh, no, just trust us. Things are going to get better. They're getting better all the time. You just don't recognize it. Well, let's go to Ron, who's calling us from Richland, Washington. Ron, do you have a question for Dr. Corsi?
Yeah, just Dr. Corsi, why is the union leadership seems to be on the wrong side of these issues? Seems to be backing candidates who are out to undermine our sovereignty rather than to protect our sovereignty.
Well, the union movement, I've always said the union movement serves an important purpose when labor is being exploited, maybe in the 20s and 30s in the United States. Certainly China right now needs workers to organize. You've got to consider labor part of the capital equation, and labor has got to be paid a living wage and decent benefits. The problem is that our current labor unions are in a accelerated kind of final stage. The growth of the labor unions is done with. Labor union workers are declining and have been declining since the 1950s. The labor unions are in a process of preserving jobs and benefits for aging workers, even when it's not economically feasible for companies to pay the salaries demanded or the benefits demanded. They've gotten out of all proportion to being a partner with business and are focused only on preserving teachers who should be fired, paying workers who are no longer productive or no longer in the labor force more than sometimes than they made when they were working. This kind of last stage of labor unions is destructive, and you see the labor unions siding with the Democrats because they feel the Democrats, in their social welfare state mentality, want to make workers a special privileged class of workers that will continue to get benefits as long as the workers vote for Democrats. And it's part of the equation, it's become part of the equation why America is no longer competitive. I mean, between the high taxes we're paying, the excessive regulations that businesses face, and unions, which are trying to preserve their last vestiges of, you know, dinosaur survival, the American economy has become internationally non-competitive.
And sometimes I think the union makers make impossible demands, and such impossible demands that the industrial base is picking up and saying, we're going to go over to China where we don't have to put up with this. We're going to go to Malaysia. We're going to go to South Korea. Why should we stay here? And then the union bosses say, well, gee, they're just so selfish and greedy, and yet they've been making demands that would, in many cases, bankrupt the company. So we've got irresponsible people in the unions, and I also think we've got some people there who may very well be globalists who are doing what they're doing, knowing full well it's going to drive industry out of the country.
Well, and a lot of the people who moved into the union movement, especially in groups like the SEIU, the service employees, the government workers, are far-left socialists who have pretty much of a communist agenda where the workers will be protected as long as they join the union and get redistribution of income to them, whether or not that's productive in terms of the economics of the companies or industries they work for. Clearly, government works only on taxes. Government's not a business. It's not generating productive income from which people are paid, and the unions have increasingly moved toward government workers and latched onto it as a almost on a socialist model.
And if you wanted to destroy a great country, you couldn't do a better job than some of the unions are doing. Thanks very much for calling, Ron. We got the whole board full. Let's go to Herman calling from Carmel. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Good. I tuned a little bit late, but I wanted to get Dr. Corsi's comment. Some people are predicting that we are at the door of possible World War III, and if you foresee the government's fomenting a war to cover up their other shenanigans, and if we get into a massive war, what are the chances that America will survive?
Well, I don't have any evidence that we're planning a war, and you know, even the Obama administration, the kind of wag the dog strategy to create a war to compensate for lagging polls, I don't have any evidence that the Obama administration is contemplating such a strategy. I do worry, however, about a war coming, especially in the Middle East. I think it could start very easily from some incidents with Hezbollah and Lebanon firing rockets into Israel or Hamas, Israel responding, one thing leading to another, and you'd have a regional war very quickly that would be very destructive. The United States is in a weakened position right now. China knows we're in a weakened position. We owe so much money to China. China has, the United States, we're in a leveraged position because we're a debtor nation.
So I think we're in real trouble, Herman. We just have to wait and see what happens. And any other question before we let you go?
Is the Stuxnet virus against Iran, is that an opening shot of a Middle East war?
It could be. It could be. I suspect that's a viral attack that comes from Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well, just going to have to wait and see, Herman. There are lots of unanswered questions.
I worry about what Herman's asking about. I think it's a legitimate concern.
God bless. Thanks very much for calling. Well, we have Linda, Lorna on the line from Idaho. Lorna, just hang on. Our guest has been Dr. Jerome Corsi, WorldNet Daily. And so if you go there, you can sign up for the Red Alert. We'll be right back. Well, we've got Lorna on the line from Idaho. Hi, Lorna. Do you have a question for Dr. Corsi?
Well, comment and a question also. Basically, I wanted to comment on who you guys were discussing.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Election, and then the American people are going to have to be told we're bankrupt. I said the financial system is in disarray. When you see gold going up $26 in a day, when you see silver going up $1 an ounce in a day, why, we're in real trouble. Gold and silver, the canary in the mine shaft, and of why the canary is beginning to wilt. Understand that the whole world financial system is on the brink of disaster. Make your preparations accordingly and then help us get the word out about the spiritual forces at work behind what's going on. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get it. Then if you can't afford it, go to our website, radioliberty.com, scroll down to DVDs or videos, and then it'll be the first talk there. The book came from the talk. And although the book has other additional information, you'll get the basic theme of the true nature of the spiritual battle right there. Well, the other thing I want to mention is, of course, that we are having our all-day conference. It's going to be on the 17th of October. That's a week from this coming Sunday. We have to have all the reservations in by 6 days from now on Monday, because we have to tell them how many people are going to be there for lunch. So if you're going to be coming, and we hope you will, and bring other people. We want to get a good crowd out. We've got a pretty good crowd right now, but we still have some space there. And basically we'll have Dr. Paul Williams, who's the world's leading expert on the Islamic terrorist training camps in the United States. That's right, the Islamic terrorist training camps in the United States. How could we have Islamic terrorist training camps in the United States? Ladies and gentlemen, nothing as it appears to be. Everything is an illusion and delusion. And as Chris says, Edward Bernays said, the intelligent and conscious manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an essential element in a democratic society. Those who control this essential mechanism of society are the true rulers, the invisible rulers of our nation. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we've never heard of, and that's true today. And so we hope that you'll want to come and get the truth at our conference. Dr. David Ayoub will be there. Sheriff Richard Mack will be there. It should be a great conference. Our telephone number, if you'd like to get reservations for yourself and your friends, 1-800-544-8927. Starts early in the morning, goes till 5:30 in the evening, and usually when we end up, why, people don't want to go home, but we have to, of course, let our speakers have some time to rest before they fly back to their homes the following day. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need, of course, to get Dr. David Ayoub's excellent DVD, Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda. I don't know how many of you watched 60 Minutes on Sunday. They had an interview with Bill and Melinda Gates, and oh, they're wonderful people. They're so concerned about the children throughout the world, and they have this a problem as far as helping as far as malaria. Children are dying of malaria. The solution to that is to use DDT. We're not allowed to use DDT. We did away with malaria in America using DDT. It's safe, it's ineffective, and that's why we don't use it. Because it's killing children. And that's why we're not using it. But, of course, they're not going to talk about that. And then, they're concerned about AIDS. But, of course, the solution to AIDS is to use standard public health techniques to stop the spread of the disease. And then there certainly are nutritional treatments that can actually change the course of this disease. But they're not doing that sort of thing. They're paying for vaccinations for children throughout the world with mercury in those vaccines. We took it out of the childhood vaccines in America. We're leaving it in the childhood vaccines throughout the world, used throughout the world, because, of course, it affects fertility, and it's all about population control. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. You need to get Dr. David Ayoub's DVD, Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda, my talk on the specter haunting America, and Dr. Blaylock's talk on vaccines and brain development. And please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest for this next hour is going to be Stephen Frank, and Stephen actually has been around just about as long as I have, but he, of course, puts out an email. How many times a day do you do that, Stephen?
3 times a day, 7 days a week.
Okay, and really it's fascinating information that you need to keep abreast of what's going on, but things are changing so rapidly today, and people need to have some idea what's really going on. And basically, of course, California is bankrupt. Most of our states are bankrupt. The America we've known before is going to cease to exist. And Stephen's keeping us abreast of what's going on. Of course, one reason California is going bankrupt is because suddenly of our massive pension liabilities, probably close to between half and three-quarters of $1 trillion of liabilities, and then massive, of course, bonded indebtedness, somebody $60 billion, but by the time we get it paid back, it'll be $90 billion. We're talking about, certainly, a budget, what, about $80 or $90 billion at the present time, Stephen?
Well, the state budget is $89 billion. The state revenues actually are closer to $70 billion.
So basically, of course, we're running a massive deficit this year, and this new budget isn't really going to solve much of anything, is it?
No, actually, the new budget makes matters worse because they don't take into consideration any real reform of the pension system. Any reforms that were in this budget don't take place for 10 years. So we have that problem. We have continuing growing unemployment in the state, but the budget claims that we're going to have increased revenues, which isn't true. The budget says we're going to get over $5 billion from the federal government. We're actually only going to get $1.3 billion, plus there's a $500 million that's not in the budget that next year we have to repay the federal government just the interest on the $8.4 billion loan of money so we can keep putting out unemployment checks. So there's all sorts of little time bombs in the budget. The last year, 2009-2010, the actual deficit was close to $40 billion. This one starts with a $20 billion deficit, $9.5 billion deficit built in, $10 billion worth of borrowing to keep the state going, and another $500 million that we have to pay the federal government. So we start the year with a $20 billion budget. And I could tell you and your audience that as we speak, Jerry Brown has already put together a team to look at the budget, and so that when he is sworn in as governor and he believes he's going to win, he will have a new budget to present to the legislature.
Well, now, basically, you were, in one of your recent epistles, you mentioned that they just laid off 30,000 state employees.
37,000 state employees were let go over the last 3 to 4 months. We will probably leave another 50,000 go. Now, when you say state employees, that's not exactly correct.
Well, you correct me, because I was just going ahead with what I read.
It is 37,000 government employees in the state of California.
Now, are some of those federal employees as well?
Some of them were city employees.
Oh, I see.
Some were county employees. Some were school district employees. And some were state employees. Cumulatively, government employees in the last 3 months, 37,500 have lost their jobs.
But they're going to have to really cut, probably another 50,000 to 100,000 before we can begin to bring the budgets of our cities, our counties, and the state government under control, aren't we?
Yes. Well, let me give you a comparative. Cuba, which has 12 million people, they're in the midst of laying off 500,000 state and local government employees.
Right.
England, which has 61 million people, and California has 38 million. England is laying off 500,000 government employees at all levels. So by letting 37,500 go at all levels here in California is barely a good beginning.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Stephen Frank. Ladies and gentlemen, California is bankrupt. Our cities are going bankrupt. Our counties are going bankrupt, and the federal government's long since bankrupt. Go right ahead, Stephen.
Well, the bankruptcy of California is going to happen next year. We will call it insolvency, but at some point in calendar year 2011, the state of California will no longer be able to pay its bills.
And well, now what about its bonds? Do you think that they'll default on their bonds?
Yes. We will probably default. Certainly, local governments will start defaulting on bonds in 2011, and it's possible that the state will. But certainly, local governments will start start defaulting because they're just unable to pay the interest on the bonds anymore.
Well, now, basically, what's happening as far as the city? We've voted for an awful lot of money. I mean, people have been totally irresponsible voting for bond issues. And Sydney, my understanding is that Bill Lockyer, the treasurer, now has permission to pay up to 14% interest on the bonds that are being sold here by the state of California. What interest are we paying now? Do we have any idea? Are we having to increase the interest rates to get people to buy our bonds? And are we still going out and selling bonds? Because, of course, they have the permission to sell them. I think, aren't there a lot of bonds yet that need to be sold or that they have the authorization to sell?
Well, since the last time you and I spoke, I decided to look up that very question because I was a little uncertain of that number. So let me give your audience what the exact numbers are. The state of California so far has issued $68 billion worth of bonds in circulation. Based on the bonds that the voters and the legislature have authorized, there's a total of $130 billion of bonds, which means there's $62 billion in bonds that the state can issue. But that does not include the $10 billion that Lockheed is about to issue to keep the budget of the state of California going. So we're talking about $72 billion worth of bonds that they can issue, and $10 billion is being issued immediately.
But are they able to get the various large banks or hedge funds to lend the money to the state of California? If I was an investor, I wouldn't want to invest in California. How would I know that California would have the money to pay me back?
Well, let me change the subject slightly so I can answer that question. I don't know whether you know it, but I'm sure you know that the federal government issues bonds as well. Now, most bonds pay 1%, 2%, 3%, correct?
Yes, hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Stephen Frank. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're certainly talking about the bonded indebtedness of California, the $60 or $70 billion out now, but they have the ability to issue another $60 billion, and that can be issued. But the question is, are people going to lend money to California? Because there is no way down the line that California is going to be able to pay either the interest or the principal on these bonds, and so I'm sure many people are very, very concerned about getting the money back, and so they may very well have to really boost the interest up. Now, as far as Treasury bonds are concerned, the most amazing thing has happened. We have never seen this before, and I think that's what Stephen's going to get to. You go ahead and tell him what's happening with the Treasury bonds here in the United States.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're on the right track here. Normally, when an investor buys a bond, they expect a federal bond, 1, 2, or 3% interest on it. Now, the federal government is selling bonds where the purchaser of the bond pays more than the face value of the bond. In other words, it has negative interest. Now, why would any investor want to upfront lose money on every bond they buy? And the answer is, and this is the first time it's ever happened, they are of a belief that we're going to have massive inflation, and this is the best way to protect their dollars, by losing a few up front and saving them on the back end. So when we go to the state of California, two or three years ago, we were selling bonds at between 2.5% and 3.5%. Then it went up to 4% to 4.5%, at which point in December of 2009, the treasurer of the California, Bill Lockyer, got the legislature to change the cap on interest from 6% and moved it up to 14%. And right now they're selling bonds at close to 5%, and by next year they will go over the 6%, which of course is now legal to do, but will cost us in the long run a massive amount of money just for the interest payments. And at some point in 10 to 15 years, we will no longer be able to pay the interest on these bonds.
And that is the thing that basically, of course, we have at, 12.6% unemployment here in California. There's an organized, intentional effort on the part of the people in Washington, D.C. to destroy the agricultural bases in the Central Valley. They've intentionally shut off the water. In the Central Valley of California, we have some communities with 20% in unemployment. We have some communities with 30% unemployment in the communities. Why? Because there are no jobs, because they've destroyed the agriculture. They did that in Washington, D.C. And, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger went right along with him. All he had to do was say, well, you're not going to be allowed to do this. I refuse to let you do it. I am the governor of the state of California. My job is to protect this state. But Arnold didn't say any of those things. He's going right along with the establishment. He has to pretend to be concerned about it, but this is not going to influence his vast sums of money, his vast fortune. You go along with the establishment, you will be fabulously wealthy, and he's sacrificing the people of the state of California on the altar of expediency. He's refused to intervene, and of course they will continue then carry out their policies here, which, of course, are aimed at the destruction of our economy. Certainly, Al Arnold is supporting this cap and trade legislation, and he's opposing Proposition 23, which is designed to try to preserve our economy. Arnold wants to destroy our economy. He realizes what cap and trade will do as far as forcing so many more companies to leave California and erode the tax base even further. But you go ahead, Steve.
Well, your audience needs to look at three things. First of all, in the next day or so, I'm going to be putting out a story on California Political News and Views about how Arnold, the governor, and others have determined to work with the federal government to further protect the fish in the Delta area. And as they do that, it's going to cost the state of California a great deal of money, but it will also cost water, which means more farms will close. So you're going to have more farms closing. Then next Tuesday, I believe, that the state of California, the voters, will approve Proposition 24. That is the measure that stops tax credits to go to small businesses in the state of California that were part of the agreement between the Democrats and the governor in order for the governor to give us the highest tax increase in the history of mankind for a state. So when that passes, that means the businesses that were counting on those tax credits to create more jobs won't, and some will be forced to close and others will be forced to move out of state. Then you have Proposition 25, which is an effort to change the ballot or the budget from a passing with a two-thirds majority to a bare majority, which means that'll be easy to pass budgets and create leverage on the legislators to raise taxes. When Prop 25 passes, when Prop 24 passes, as we get into taking even more water from the farmers, we are going to wind up with a state that is going to be in a total depression that no one could deny. We're going to see unemployment rates certainly by the early part of 2011 hit 13%, and could by the end of the year hit 15% in the state of California.
Of course, one of the key pieces of legislation is Prop 23. Prop 23 undoes, I think it was Prop 32 that was passed by the before, which of course was designed to destroy our economy. It basically, it was going to cap carbon emissions, and it was going to force industries just to pick up and leave California, and trucking industries to pick up and leave California. Dramatic demands for a decrease in diesel emissions, all sorts of things were totally fraudulent. They frankly lied about the things that they did. Well, to counter that, of course, Proposition 23 was put forward, largely financed by a couple of oil companies in Texas. The most interesting thing is you don't see Exxon backing 23. You don't see Chevron backing 23. You would think that all the oil companies would be behind it, but what people don't understand is they're really part of the scheme to destroy our economy. And it will, and basically, if Proposition 23 loses, why the economy here in California is going to tank and will probably not come back during my lifetime. So, but it's so interesting that the major oil companies are not backing 23. A couple of oil companies from Texas are, and everybody makes a big thing. Oh, we got to show these oil companies they want to contaminate our air. But the big boys aren't backing it. And we have to ask ourselves why. Go ahead.
Well, let me answer the question as to why. Winston Churchill had a phrase that an appeaser is somebody who feeds their friends to the crocodiles until they get eaten. They get eaten last. And Chevron and Exxon have been working hand in glove with the governor to support AB 32 to kill the jobs in this state in hopes that they would not be taxed too high and would be able to survive. So they're feeding their friends. Now, what does that mean to you and me? Now, we already know, something you may not know about me, Dr. Stan, is that I like to go grocery shopping. So I go to the grocery store every day, and I know the prices of goods. I do the shopping for the family, so I know what the costs are. And I know, as your audience knows, the cost of food has been going up. And that's because of environmental regulations, lack of water, having to bring in foods from other places. Now, what your audience may not realize is that in less than 2 years of Barack Obama being president, the cost of gasoline, the average cost of gasoline, has gone up $1.01 since he was sworn in on January 20th, 2009. It's gone up a little over a dollar, which means the cost of gasoline, which is important to us, as individuals getting to work, to play, to visit family is important. But imagine what this means to the trucking industry. In other words, since Barack Obama has been president, the cost of gasoline has gone up by over one-third. Now, that is a massive increase, and I don't call that a price increase. I call that a Barack Obama tax on the people of California and the nation.
Well, I'm sure that the people who put Barack Obama in office are very happy. And who put him in office? Well, he got tremendous amounts of money from the major banks and from the major oil companies. And now it's time back, payback time, and are they really happy with him? But they're going right along with the destruction of our economy here in California. Chevron and Exxon and all the major oil companies are in bed with these people who want to destroy California. And they're intentionally destroying our agriculture. We used to have the garlic capital of the world was over in Gilroy, but the garlic capital of the world today is in communist China, right where we put it. And they're doing everything they can to disrupt our economy. And there's not one person in 1,000 who understands that they're doing it on purpose. They honestly think that it's all about the three-inch smelt. It's not about the three-inch smelt. It's how do you destroy the economy of our state. Go right ahead.
Well, for those who want to know, the smelt tastes a bit like anchovy. Just like the spotted owl tastes a little bit like chicken, and neither one of them are important to society, but it is important to the politicians who are trying to kill the lumber industry and the and farms in California. And the radical environmentalists have done a great job of killing off the northwest portion of the state, Humboldt County, Del Norte County, Lassen County. That whole area of California has been economically massacred by the environmentalists.
And it was done on purpose to destroy our lumber industry. What people don't understand is if we destroy the American lumber industry, then, of course, they go over and they chop down the trees in the Amazon. They chop down the trees over in Indonesia. And, of course, it gives them a lot of money, and it destroys the lumber industry in the United States. They're destroying us here because of the spotted owl, of course, so they can actually raise the living standards in other countries. Once you know what's going on, it all makes sense. Otherwise, you wonder, why are they so concerned about the spotted owl? As Steve says, it doesn't even taste very good. We'll be right back. Go right ahead.
Well, there are so many environmental...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey Water Filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Get the money. Well, they've got bonds. They've got government bonds. So they go to the government and they say, you know, we've got these government bonds. You owe us this money. But the government doesn't have any money. They have to go out and borrow the money so they can give it to Social Security to redeem to get federal bonds, the Treasury bills, so that Social Security can pay the people who retired. But it's going to be worse this coming year. And it's going to be worse the year after that as more and more people retire, people are retiring early because they want to get the money because they know the whole thing is going belly up. But they don't want the American people to know that both Social Security and Medicare are going to fail, and people are going to have to start looking after themselves because there's no way that this thing is going to work actuarially. It is bankrupt. We're bankrupt financially, but even more than that, we're bankrupt morally. Go right ahead.
It goes beyond that, and I'll give you an example here in California. Under Obamacare, each state is supposed to set up what are called exchanges. So people who can't get or don't want to get private insurance under certain circumstances can go into this exchange, which is a government system of health care, government-run, government-controlled, government determines what gets paid, etc. In exchange for a state doing that, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was the first governor in the country, and so far the only governor to put into law one of these exchanges. So here in California, under the federal government has pledged, notice that word, pledged, $718 million in order to pay for this new program. Here's the problem. A, it's a pledge. Nothing forces the federal government to pay for that. And, of course, the state government is beginning to sign up people for these exchanges, but there's no money to cover it. And when a new Republican Congress takes over, when the budget is provided, that money for the exchanges for California and the rest of the country will not be authorized. And so we're going to be held on the hook for between $1 and $2 billion. We being the people of California, for this phony Obamacare program. Second part of it is, even if the $718 million came to California, under the system devised by the governor, the cost of health care under the exchange would be between $1 and $2 billion. So we're going to grow our deficit even more. So how do you fix that part of it? You give less medical services, you have more death panels, you have fewer procedures for people, and you set up a rationing of health care. And that's what Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to have as part of his legacy. The good news is that in all probability, the Republicans will stop the exchanges by not authorizing money for them, and the states are going to have to back off. And we may lose $50 to $100 million on the deal.
Well, because I think that there's no reason why the state, and I know in the state of California in the past, has had a health insurance program that people who had pre-existing conditions could get into, but it cost a good deal more than regular health insurance. It's sort of like, you know, you have a house and you think it's probably going to burn down. Why, you certainly would not want to insure that for the same price that you would at somebody in the general residence. So I think that this is not a bad idea. I had a son that had pre-existing conditions. We paid a good deal of money, but at least we had health insurance for him. That's fine. The state has already had that, and Blue Cross established that. We don't need another federal program with all sorts of strings attached that's going to make it even more expensive. There's nothing the federal government can do that works efficiently, other than, killing people. But they're very good at that as far as the military is concerned. But even that is extremely expensive. And, of course, that's the people over in Iraq who had a first-world country before the Americans arrived. And now, if you have electricity 3 hours a day, you're lucky. If you don't have running water, the sewage doesn't work, the garbage collection doesn't work, the structure doesn't work. They had a first-world nation. They had a wicked man in charge. His name was Saddam Hussein. But remember, the American government installed him in 1979. He worked for the CIA. He was a paid assassin for the CIA. If you doubt that, we have books written 20 years ago that talk about that. But amazingly enough, none of the books written today talk about that. But fortunately, we have a large library with books talking about Saddam Hussein being a paid assassin for the CIA in the 1950s. Do we pay assassins? Absolutely. If you don't believe it, we've got a four-tape set called Deadly Assassins, where I actually interview two government assassins and first talk with the man who tracked down the man who was paid to kill General Patton. That's a four-tape set, Deadly Assassins, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And we'll be back in just a moment here. Dr. Stan, I guess this evening is Stephen Frank. Stephen, you go right ahead.
Well, the United States is putting itself into a national security problem, which we haven't discussed yet. As our economics fail us, as cities and counties and states go bankrupt, and the federal government is unable to pay its bills, and countries like China own the treasury bonds, and can create leverage over us, our ability to negotiate trade agreements are hampered. Our ability to defend ourselves against terrorists, against foreign nations, is harmed. Even today, there are great parts of Texas, of Arizona, of New Mexico even, that have problems with illegal aliens and the drug cartels just taking over whole areas of parts of the Southwest. And our government, whether it's unable to or unwilling to, is just not defending American territory, American property, and American people. And so as these cartels move into the states and move north from the border area, and as our debt mounts, our ability to protect ourselves goes down.
I share your concern. I think that everybody should be concerned about what's happening as far as our society is concerned. The tempo of violence is increasing. There certainly are, certainly here in California where we live. I don't know what is happening in other parts of California, but certainly in Salinas, Watsonville. I mean, communities we've never had any problem with violent crime. And now, of course, why we're seeing a violent crime almost on a daily basis. And the number of shootings and killings is just difficult for the civilized people to understand. And these are senseless killings. Most of them are gang-related. But it doesn't really matter. Sometimes people are just walking along the street, and for no reason, somebody will gun them down. And we're in real trouble as a nation, because I think we've turned our back against God. We'll be right back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess it's Stephen Frank. And Stephen, before we go on, I'd like you to go ahead and get out and tell our listeners how they can get your material, how they can get subscribed to your email, and if the price is right, because it doesn't cost anything, but it's got excellent material. And then if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. And Stephen is certainly one of the most knowledgeable people on what's really going on, not only here in California, but out across the nation. But basically what you're seeing is a nation that can't pay its bills. Basically, we have taken on all sorts of obligations intentionally, obligations that there is no way they can be paid. We're having to borrow money. And there's no end of this in sight. And if you read what Ben Bernanke is talking about, it's continuing deficits, continuing deficits. And, of course, the only way out of this is to destroy the value of the currency. But when you do, why, of course, you destroy the value of the life savings of the people who've been putting their money aside for their retirement. And inflation is a invisible tax. It's a means of robbing people of their life's labor. Well, Stephen, you go right ahead, and once again, our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Go ahead, Stephen. How can people get your email publications 3 times a day, 7 days a week?
It's the California Political News and Views, and if you wish to subscribe, and again, as Dr. Stan said, it's free, go to CAPoliticalnews.com, CAPoliticalnews.com. Click on that and just click on subscribe, and you will have subscribed to it. It gives you an idea in the morning what's going on throughout the state of California. At noontime or so, I put out a national political news and views so folks can get a better understanding of national political and public policy trends. Then late in the afternoon, I give a single story that has great merit. For instance, the other day, I put out an article about newspapers losing 5% of their circulation. The LA Times in the last year has lost 8% of its circulation. The San Francisco Chronicle has lost 11% of its circulation. The newspapers, the dead tree industry, as I like to call it, is losing readers, losing advertising, and maybe it's because it's lost its trust and credibility, and people are no longer looking at newspapers as factual content, but as propaganda machines for unions, the Democrats, and leftist causes.
I think you're absolutely right. And all of the major newspapers in California, as far as I can see, all of them are backing Jerry Brown for president. And Jerry Brown, of course, it was a disaster. I should say for governor. Jerry Brown was a disaster when he was the governor here before. And I said, hey, but it looks like he's going to get it because all of the newspapers are behind him. And basically what I do is I look and see what my local newspaper is backing, and then I just vote exactly the opposite way. I mean, they're in favor of everything that's going to increase our taxes. They're in favor of everything that's going to favor the Democrats' continued control over the state legislature. Look and see what your local newspaper is doing, and then I suggest vote just the opposite. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, there may be one or two newspapers in California where you can trust what they're saying, but all of the major newspapers are backing Jerry Brown, and I have to ask, why?
Well, newspapers are liberal organizations. All studies have shown over the past 40 years that reporters are in the 90th percentile registered as Democrat or Peace and Freedom or some other leftist organization.
So the reporters are that way. And, of course, newspapers are concerned about taxation. They're concerned about being able to get actual newsprint, the quality of the ink. They're concerned about the government telling them things so they could have stories to print. And it's a very interesting relationship between newspapers and government. I know here in Ventura County, where I live, the Ventura Star, which is a the major newspaper in the county, very seldom talks about bad things that government's doing. There's a major race for mayor in Simi Valley, my hometown, and the election is next Tuesday, and except for two articles, the newspaper hasn't even covered the race. So how could people determine which candidate to support or to oppose? The local newspaper just refuses to cover this race and does a very bad job of covering the corruption, mismanagement of government throughout Ventura County.
Well, I love to tell the story. When I ran for Congress, I was the Republican, won the Republican primary back in 1988, and the reporter on the local newspaper told me that she went to the editor and she said, well, you know, this contested Republican nomination, and Dr. Monteith won it. It took 3 weeks before the final count was in after the election, but Dr. Monteith won. Are you going to write an article saying he won the primary? And the editor of my local newspaper, where I've lived since 1955, said, of course I'm not going to run anything that says that Dr. Monteith won the primary. That is how our educational, how our media works. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I think you can tell that I don't feel that the newspaper is fair or impartial, and it isn't. It has an agenda, and unfortunately, it is not for what's best for our country. Well, we've got Dave calling in. David, where are you from?
Seattle.
Okay, David, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I just see a train wreck coming, and we have millions in the over 20% unemployment that they don't tell us about. Now, they have to continually extend the unemployment, which they do. Now, they can't continue to do that forever because nobody will be working. Everybody will be unemployment. If they do stop it, there'll be riots everywhere because there's no job. So, I mean, it's depressing to think about, but it looks like there's no alternative.
Well, let me tell you that as of today, the government gives 99 weeks of unemployment, 2 years' worth. And I saw a report this morning that there's 1.5 million people who have already run out of their 99 weeks of unemployment, 1.5, and that grows every single week. It's not getting smaller. So your listener is very correct. We're in for a real train wreck, and he's also correct. Here in California, which has 12.6% unemployment, the actual unemployment in the state of California, underemployed, those who've given up looking for employment, is closer to 25%. And in places like San Bernardino County, it's already 25% that they admit. And there are a lot of places in the Central Valley of California that have 40% unemployment. And, of course, I don't know if your listener, who's come from the state of Washington, works for Boeing, but Boeing is about to give up. They've already asked to give up their health care program and force all the Boeing workers onto the federal program for health care. So they're going to go from a Cadillac health care program to a Model T, and there'll be nothing the workers could say or do about it.
I think more like the Tata, the new car that's coming in from India next year, that's going to sell everything we have. It's going to sell for $1,000, the Indian car, the Tata, it'll be here next year, and that's, of course, what we're going to get for the Boeing people. David, I would simply point out that they know exactly what they're doing. They want civil unrest, and the last thing we want is, of course, to have people taking to the streets. We need to stop the violence, educate people about what these people are doing, because what they're doing is treasonous. These people are part of a subversive movement dedicated to the destruction of our nation, and we need to expose them, but the last thing we want is violence, because they'll use that to just bring in the martial law. That's what it's all about. That's why they're doing what they're doing. Anything else, David, before we let you go?
No, I'm glad you bring these subjects up, because nobody discusses this.
Well, David, you've got to get everybody up there in Seattle listening to our programs, and certainly want bumper stickers or cards or anything. While you just get in touch with us, we'll be glad to get them to you free of charge. And we want you to get the people out there in Seattle. We got most of the people in, an awful lot of people in Spokane listening. If we can get Seattle, why, we can take Washington, D.C. and begin to turn it around. Hey, God, thank you so very much for calling.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Lorene, who's calling from New York. I bet you're calling from upstate New York, aren't you, Lorene?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fine. What part are you listening to there? At Utica, Attica, or where?
Ilion, New York.
Okay, fine. Are you listening shortwave or listen to a major station there?
WJIV out of Cherry Valley.
Okay, very good.
Well, 109 FM.
Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, Lorene, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I wanted to know if I could talk about something. I went to a meeting tonight out here in the country in the town of Litchfield. It's south of Ilion, where I live in the country, but it's an Ilion mailing address.
Okay.
And we had, they're trying to bring in a group of wind turbines.
Right.
And the community is half for it and half against it. And I remember you talking about how, I don't know whether it was in California or in other states, that they're getting rid of, is it hydropower?
Tearing out dams so we can do away with hydroelectric power. If they can do away with hydroelectric power, and they're trying to do that as quickly as they can, and then, of course, they can block nuclear power, then, of course, they sell what's just terrible, you know, if you're burning, coal or oil or natural gas because you're creating a carbon footprint. And so the only alternative, of course, is solar, and, of course, the solar panels are all made in communist China, or wind power and General Electric, which is the largest wind turbine, they're going to move their production to communist China. So we're going to create a lot of jobs when we put in the solar and wind, but they're all going to be over in China. But you go right ahead.
Well, I like the idea of sustainable electric, but the thing is it's my understanding, and I don't know if it's accurate or not, but I was told that if this passes and these wind turbines are put out here in the town of Litchfield, that as soon as they're built, a company in Spain will buy them.
I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, Stephen?
Well, a lot of foreign countries are buying our alternative energy sources after we build them, so I wouldn't be surprised at all.
And it's somebody from Ireland that's supposedly doing this here to begin with.
Well, I think, Lorene, what you have to understand is that by sending all of our money overseas, we have massive deficits every month. Last month it was $46 billion. And what we're doing then is giving all these other countries money so they can come in and buy up our infrastructure. That's what our leaders want. They want to destroy this country. And certainly, basically, already 25 of our major corporations here are foreign-owned. It's probably closer to 30 to 35%. Those figures are 5 years old. And this is exactly what's happening. And they're selling off the Turnpike, the New Jersey Turnpike, the Philadelphia Turnpike. They're selling off our bridges. They're selling off our major highways. And suddenly they're probably going to be selling off a lot of our electric concerns. I don't know anything specific about that, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. But you see, then the next thing is, of course, they're going to have those up, and those turbines are going to start killing birds. And then the people are going to say, well, we can't have those wind turbines. They're killing birds. And they make an awful lot of noise. And if you've never been around one of those wind turbines. They make a lot of noise. And then they're going to say, well, we're just going to have to turn off the turbines, and then we'll have solar energy, you know. And then, of course, it's great during the daytime, but what do you do at night? What they really want to do, Lorraine, is they want us to stop using electricity. They want to destroy the industrial base of our country because it's based upon the availability of cheap and efficient, in other words, 24-hour-a-day electric power, and they don't want to do that. They want to destroy our industrial base. That's what it's all about. And when you understand that, and you should be at those meetings, explain to them what Agenda 21 is all about, what smart meters are about, what is really happening, and how they are going to destroy our ability to have effective electricity, and pretty soon we'll be almost as good as they are over in Baghdad today, where they get 3 hours of electricity on a good day. Anything else, Lorraine?
They're not even going to let us get the power off of these wind turbines. It's supposed to be taken to New York City, and we're not going to benefit from it.
Okay. Well,
we're going to have to suffer the side effects.
What would you say about that, Stephen? What would you tell her about this wind turbines and the noise and the trouble and the birds and all the other problems?
There's some in Lowellville.
About the birds and all that. You reminded me.
And they said that people are getting sick from them.
Hold that. What were your thoughts, Stephen?
Well, when you were talking about the birds, you were reminded, you sounded exactly like the late Senator Ted Kennedy. There was an effort to build turbines off of Hyannisport, and Ted Kennedy for many years got it stopped because he didn't want the sight of those turbines, and he was afraid for the birds. And that's exactly the line used by Ted Kennedy to stop the turbines being built in his neighborhood. The problem is for this nice lady from Litchfield that she doesn't have a Ted Kennedy to just tell them no.
You've got a real problem there, Lorraine, and just try to get people to understand this is very, very effective, very, very inefficient means of getting electricity. It'll be very expensive, but if people of New York want it, why, you can't stop it. But you can certainly say, why don't you put this down, you know, on Long Island, you know, get a place, or maybe put it on Plum Island out there in the middle of the sound there between Lyme, Connecticut and Long Island, and that would be a great place for it. I'm sure they have lots of wind.
Well, in Lowellville, New York, the one man that was at the meeting tonight, he said people are getting sick that live near them.
I really can't comment on that. But anyway, God bless, and thanks so much for calling. You keep us posted, okay? Bye-bye. Let's go to Rich calling from San Diego. Rich, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. Actually, I wonder if we're you know, splitting hairs with this problem, that problem, and if you look at the Trilateral Commission, is maybe they're really looking at basically doing more population control because we have so many people in the world, they're scratching the head, how are we going to control these people and consolidate power at the same time?
Do you have any thoughts on that, Steve?
Well, actually, Australia is now having a debate on whether or not to limit families to 2 children. This is about population control as well. And, of course, the Chinese have now found out that their population control of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, which they're still basically continuing, one child...
Hold that thought. Go right ahead, Stephen.
The Chinese idea of one child per family has now hurt their economy because they don't have enough...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.